Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ticket texters talking about the Tigers. If Harris and Ilitch sit on their hands and make pointless signings while, quote, waiting for the young guys, I'm going to lose my mind and turn in my fan card. We need a big bat in this lineup. Team got lucky last year and overachieved. Another one says, get rid of Torque and sign Alonzo. Nick in Richmond. Your best move is Bregman, signed an unnamed ticket texter. He's familiar with AJ Hinch. This offseason will be another Matt Vierling and two average pitchers. Cookies, I would definitely go for Alonzo, Burns, and bring back Flaherty. Move on from Torque, move Mize to the pen. People have a lot of thoughts on this baseball team.
Well, and whether it is, you know, you bring in Bregman and he plays third base, then you just start bumping everybody over and you move Cole Keith to first. It whether you are directly replacing Spencer Torkelson by bringing in an Alonzo or a Walker, or you bring in the third baseman and just bump everybody over, I think kind of the consensus is most people are done with being patient with Spencer Torkelson.
Says, come on, guys, you got to be kidding me. You know they're not going to go after anybody of value. They're not going to spend any money. They're going to tell you they're looking good right as they are. They just made the playoffs. They'll go for a reclamation project or two, and that'll be it.
And so that's the concern. When I read those and listened to Scott Harris yesterday, I was curious as to how that message was going to be received, because I think I took it as, okay, they're going to add somebody. And I do expect them to spend some money to add somebody of value. I think there's a lot of people that I was interacting with last night that took it completely the other way, that they're going to add somebody that's just a complimentary piece and expect the workload to be done by all those young players that they say just a little bit better, but they're expecting them to be a lot better.
That's what I think. I think that they are setting up to have a small move or two, right? A starter to fill out the rotation, a right-handed infield bat that's probably more of a platoon piece, and sell us on internal development. And that'll be the, as he put it, the primary way for them to get better. I would love to be proven wrong. I'd love to see an investment in this baseball team. I really would. Do I think it's going to happen? No. And I'm trying not to get worked up. I'm trying to, John, I didn't say they got to sign two bats. I just said, give me one. Just give me, show me a sign of good faith that you can target a high-end bat, pay a high-end bat who you identify to make this team better. I'm not telling you it's got to be Willy Adames. It has to be Pete Alonso. It has to be Bregman.
Right.
Do your due diligence. You're the baseball guy. I'll defer, right? I mean, I understand they know more than we do, but I'd be really disappointed if they just bypassed all of them and said, we're going to evaluate the young guys again. Let's get a quick phone call in. Chip in Farmington, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, boys. Cookies, fire up, Chips.
Fire up.
I heard Gov say it was a little bit unreasonable to talk about, like, Juan Soto. I don't, like, 10 years ago, a guy like David Price or Victor Martinez, or even going back further, like Brett Hull 20 years ago, like, those guys weren't unreasonable then. So I really feels like it's only unreasonable because we got Pizza Boy up top that doesn't want to spend any money.
The projected contract for Juan Soto, 13 years, $600 million. It's $47 a year. But the Tiger payroll is, their playoff payroll was less than that. I mean, the point is they could add Juan Soto to this payroll and still not even have a league average payroll. And Juan Soto is not a past his prime guy. I mean, no. Yeah, you're signing up for 13 years in this case, but you're getting him for his best years.
Yeah. There's no reason not to offer him the ceiling.
Yeah.
My perspective is that he wouldn't come here.
That may be the case.
I honestly believe that, and I don't have any evidence of that. It would shock me that he would choose here. They're nowhere listed on the odds to land him, so it's that's why I said it was unreasonable. By the way, Pete Alonso's wife went to Michigan State.
Oh, she's got a local tie.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, where is she originally? Is she originally from?
No, Boston.
Oh,
Come on, Heather, start recruiting.
Yeah.
Use those alumni
make
ties.
The call.
Okay.
I know. TJ came up woefully shy on Max
Crosby.
Don't pull
Crosby. A TJ on us. It's time for Heather to recruit.
Do we know if she was in a sorority?
I don't know that.
Well, now we got to do some research.
Yeah.
I'll do some research.
All right, perfect.
Do you know who I am?
Heather's on the case. All right, John, we had this question about sports parents and sports kids.
Yeah. So there's an article recently written about the angst that some of the TV executives are having because broadcast rights continue to skyrocket in terms of what is costing to, whether it's the college football playoffs, it's, you know, the ESPN with the SEC, and I'm just talking about college sports, but then you start talking about the NFL and how much it costs to broadcast NFL games. That's really that's the golden egg, is the NFL games, but it's also, and we've seen how much struggle hockey and the regional broadcast partners have had in trying to come up with enough money to be able to broadcast those games. And then obviously, you know, we're talking about the NBA. They are seeing a future that is stark at best because kids are not watching sports like mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, the generations that have led to what we see now in terms of the skyrocketing broadcast fees.
Yeah, these executives are making billion-dollar deals. They need people to watch these games, and one of the things they're concerned about is your kids aren't caring. They aren't watching. They aren't paying enough attention. Are they right? Have you seen that in your household, John?
I have, but it's different. And this is where I think TV executives need to make sure that they are changing with the times as well. And I think they somewhat are, but when Jack sits down, and even the girls, because the girls will watch football with me, and they'll watch some basketball because they got a basketball player in the house, but it's rare that they sit down and watch an entire game, or at least are tuned in to an entire game. The way that they are watching is through YouTube, through other apps, where like Jack wants to be able to watch all of the best highlights from the NFL weekend basically in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a montage of what has happened over the NFL. It's the same thing with hockey. He watches hockey highlights, but he won't sit down and watch the Wings for an entire game. It's baseball. And baseball is a tougher one for kids to sit down and actually watch. And that's one that actually Jack will sit down and watch with me for the entire time. But that's because he loves baseball. But when you think about the way that they're consuming it, they're not sitting down for 3.5 hours and watching an NFL game, or 3 hours, 3.5 hours for a college football game. Some of it is there's more activities for kids now than there have ever been. There's also more distractions. There's video games. And I know video games is not new, but they are spending more time in front of screens that are not broadcasting games.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'd love to hear from parents this morning.
How are your kids taking in sports? Are they taking in sports? Will they sit down and watch a game with you? And if not, how are they consuming their sports?
Because it could be something like you said, highlights, or they're seeing clips on TikTok. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you guys tell us.
The attention span of the average viewer is much less now than it was even 10 years ago, but certainly 20 or 30 years ago.
Well, and I wonder too, just from a local standpoint, like you got hooked on the Tigers when
in
you were
84.
Very young. And
yeah.
I got hooked on the Red Wings in the 90s and early 2000s. Like, they capture the imagination of your childhood. If you're 12 years old right now, what was the thing that would have hooked you at some point?
Right.
Our teams haven't been very good. So I wonder if that plays into it too.
Well, but this isn't just locally. This is across the nation. Now, I know we're obviously talking to mostly our local viewers, and we had this when the Tigers were going on their run at the end of the season. It was moms and dads taking their kids to Comerica and then watching the games because they were finally relevant. the Lions right now. It's expensive to go to a Lions game. And we've talked about the price of the Super Bowl tickets, the price of playoff tickets, the increasing cost of being a season ticket holder. I mean, if you're not going to the games, are your kids even tuned in to what is going on? And are not that anybody's going to sit down and say, you're going to watch this game with me because I'm going to make you a sports fan. Being a sports fan has to be organic. It has to be something that you actually choose to do and you get drawn in.
Texter says kids are stuck on their phones even during live sports. Put the games on the phone apps. You could stream on your phone.
So, yeah, I mean, I do it when I travel. Like this weekend, being down in Bloomington, I've got YouTube TV and I will be streaming games from my iPad while we're on the bus or while we're, you know, going to the airport.
So my boys, they watch, but they, and the one thing I've noticed is it's the local teams that they care about. Mm-hmm. And if they're not relevant, they didn't care. Like they don't ever ask me to watch a Pistons game.
Well,
Red Wings, there's a lukewarm interest. They want to go to a game. Hockey's great in person.
It is.
Especially, you know, when they but they're infatuated with the Lions.
Sure.
And the Tigers, I mean, I witnessed it myself when I went to that game in Cleveland. That they look like me when I was a kid and went to a great sporting event. So I think the local team, a texter brought this up, but the local teams being so bad does not help us here. But what is different is they don't care that much about if it's not local.
Well, yeah, you're right. They don't have to watch the local teams. Like when we were growing up, it was, for some people, the only option you had. Now you can watch the national games. You can stream it out of market, all this. If you want to watch the stars in the NBA, great. Go ahead and watch Steph Curry. I mean, you have that option.
And the other thing, too, like the NFL, obviously, like anything, it's the most popular with my boys, just like it is around the country. You know, they are a little annoyed. Like one of them said that the NFL is stale right now. Other than the Lions, the NFL is stale. The storylines are all the same. It's Lamar and Josh Allen and getting sick of the Chiefs and Mahomes already. Like quicker than I did when I was younger. I wasn't a kid anymore, but with Brady and the Patriots, you know, that didn't happen.
How could you be 12 years old and think it's stale? You haven't watched enough football for this to be stale.
But this is why I do think a team like the Lions, it draw in some of the younger viewers because of the hook and ladder, because you're throwing it to offensive linemen, because you're doing things outside of the norm and having fun. It's going back to the Chiefs when Eric Bieniemy was the offense coordinator by name. Andy Reid, obviously the one calling the offense, but they're doing the ring around the rosy. They go out there, they run a play, and it scores a touchdown. It's Travis Kelce taking a snap and being the one that operates the offense because Patrick Mahomes still on the field, but he's not in the quarterback position. Like those things are fun for the young viewers to be able to see. But I kind of agree that there's not enough of those.
So we're calling all parents. Are your kids watching sports with you the way you used to watch? Are they more invested in the game, or do you find them, you know, kind of flipping through apps on their phone? TV executives are concerned that kids aren't watching sports. It's 97.1.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did your kids watch that with you?
No.
248-539-9797. Pistons nearly had it. Nice defensive play late, but then didn't box out. Lost the game at the buzzer. Mark Champion on the call. Pistons were going for three straight wins for the first time since 2022. I don't know if Doug bet it. Remember that was his deal last year?
Yeah,
they win
three in a row.
Yeah. I don't know if he was in the proper headspace or eye space to watch that game. But we'll check in with him at 10 o'clock. We have Dear John coming up at 9:02.
Oh, all right.
And the prompts for you today. Am I no longer a Michigan fan?
Oh.
This was sent in by one of our Twitch viewers. Lions gear, kind of. Nobody likes the one-upper. And Thanksgiving my way.
Which one has the picture?
Let's see, there is a visual aid for one of them. You will find out at 9:02.
Okay. But getting back to, and I'm sure you've got some text that you want to share. The concerning numbers, and this is what blows me away. And now I know that I'm kind of in the middle of this age group now, but it's the average age of the viewers. And I think there was a texter that Gov mentioned in regards to they need to be on the apps. They need to, you know, the games need to be more of that. And it's the older viewers are resisting that. And that's who the TV execs are currently marketing to because they're the ones that control all the purse strings. But if you want the future of, you know, the future viewers, how are you going to connect with them? And it's YouTube, it's TikTok, it's Netflix, it's Instagram, it's in, you know, all of these different things that are distracting them. The average age of viewers, and this goes to the younger viewer, on Amazon Prime, Thursday Night Football, TV executives are extremely excited about the fact that the average viewer is 47.7 years old. And that's young compared to, that's 7 years younger, so 54 years old for the average viewer for NFL games on linear networks, and it's even 15 years younger than those that are broadcast in prime time. With that average age is 62 and a half. Those numbers blow me away.
Yeah, it really puts a perspective on how old the sports viewer is, and it puts a premium on them trying to get younger sports fans to sit in front of a TV and watch a three-hour game, which we've asked you guys is people with kids, parents out there, what have you experienced? On the attention span side of things, you mentioned TikTok. I just showed you what has become a trend on TikTok. It's not enough to watch one thing happening. There are TikToks of, on the left, it's someone like mowing their grass or chopping fruit while someone talks on the other side. Like we can't even watch one 10-second TikTok anymore. Two things have to be going at the same time.
That blows me away.
Yeah, split screen. Right?
Yeah. I do that for the NFL games, but right. I could really only focus on one.
But it's no different than doing it on your phone. You guys are making me think, and I might be opening myself up to just criticism that I'm not thinking of, because I just think of this on the fly.
That's what we do.
Like, I actually wonder if the better option is to, it's either on traditional TV, basic cable, or it's on apps on your phone.
Yeah.
Like that the, it's almost like taking away the smart TV, meaning I don't have to go to a streaming service on my TV if I want to watch a game. I either watch it on traditional TV or cable, basic cable, like I said, like the ESPNs of the world. And then you also have it available on a couple different streaming options. And I actually wonder if they could make more money doing that.
Well,
split it. It's,
what do you mean?
The same broadcast in two different ways, because we see that sometime on NBC and Peacock. What we'll see that. Sometimes we'll see it in college basketball. You'll see it on CBS or Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
I mean, I've long thought something that would work would be like the Manning cast separately of games, but where it's not kind of like corporate. Where it would
Saying tailor the secondary streaming
like you
broadcast
guys, like you
to
guys,
the younger
like you guys
audience.
Doing the Lions, like if we could do a Lions cast, like talk on the station.
We did for the preseason, yeah.
Yeah.
So going back to what Jim talked about, and I think you're right, Gov, like you got to have multiple ways for people to view it, whether it's on linear TV or also being simulcast on an app. Like that's where it has to be. And most of them you can find on your phone. But the two videos going on at once, I can't watch a game and my wife tell me something and pay attention to both. And she'll be very honest with you and say, like, you know, hey, did you just hear what I said? No. So, I mean, I got to be honest as well. No. I can't focus on two things, let alone the...
Repeat it back to me, John. What did I say? Right,
yeah, no clue. So there's sometimes where I'm doing something here, you're talking, I'm like, I have no idea what this guy is saying.
Well, that might be a different problem. But yeah, I do think this is an issue for sports fans and attention spans and the future of watching sports on TV. Let's get some phone calls. I do have ticket text, but people have been waiting. Let's get to Michael in Ann Arbor. Michael, you're on 97.1.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good
morning. Yeah, I'd agree with pretty much everything you guys are saying. I think it's the technology and access to the media as well as the attention spans. You know, if you think back, we would consume it. I would consume media, sports media, through coming home and turning on my game through the one media channel I had. Like you said, the TV and then the cable TV. Versus nowadays, we do have, which, you know, even for older people, we have the Red Zone channel. So I'm not flipping through all the games if I'm not watching. You know, I'm either watching the Lions or I'm watching the Red Zone channel.
Same. Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. And it's just about the media and how we're getting it. Same thing for the Prime Video and the stats you shared there, being the youngest. I think the streaming networks or the apps probably do have a younger viewing audience. So, you know, they can go, instead of watching SportsCenter in the morning for a kid and waiting to see their team's highlight, they can just go on YouTube or TikTok and see that stuff on demand.
Yep.
It's you know, they're going and doing that. And the thing I just worry about is that was what I loved, was waiting and watching and riding that emotional roller coaster of watching the game and waiting for Barry Sanders to pop that big run versus and having the game flow and actually understanding what's happening in the game instead of just seeing action all the time. But it's always action, 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 instead of waiting to be able to cheer for something. So that's kind of the part that's a little sad, and I wonder if we're going to lose that.
Yeah, Michael, it's good perspective. It is. I want to get Bill involved. Bill, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
I first want to agree with the part about when your wife says something, you're watching the game and you only hear the game.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of us dudes who could agree with that.
Even when the game's off. Oh, wait a minute. Now let's get on to the sports stuff. Oh. I was going to say that the I think the big distractions of online betting and fantasy leagues also serves to prevent people from focusing on a single event.
Yep.
Because they're not interested in the single event. They got all these other things going on, all these other distractions. I take people into the big house with my season tickets, and I see them looking at their phone, and they're, you know, gambling. And I'm like, come on, you got this big event going on right in front of you. It kind of ticks you off. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of distractions. But those two right there, I think the online betting, and I think that the fantasy leagues tend to be big distractions.
Yeah, it's like extra stimulation, but then you're never really focused. You're bouncing around. How's my fantasy team doing? Is my bet looking good? What about the game over here? I'm not even watching it, but I want to monitor it on top of the games you're already watching. I run into some of that. So I can only imagine, like, if you're a younger fan that already doesn't have the attention span. Some ticket texters. This one says, I can't get my 13-year-old boy to watch an entire game with me. He cares about sports. He has alerts set up on his phone for the updates and player stat updates, but he won't watch an entire game. 23-year-old Lions season ticket holder here. So they've had season tickets for 23 years. 14-year-old son doesn't watch sports at all. No interest in watching anything that lasts more than 30 seconds.
It's amazing. It really is. And how do TV executives reach the next generation? That's the big question.
Won't someone think of the TV executives? But no, it is a fundamental question about the way sports are consumed.
Will,
yes.
It eventually affect all of us.
Yes. It's tough to get my 9-year-old to sit through more than one quarter of football. No interest in the Pistons. He was interested in the Tigers out of nowhere, Brandon and West Bloomfield. I have 3 children. 2 oldest will watch live football games. Nothing other than highlights on TikTok or YouTube. Youngest will sit and watch college and pro with me, but that's about it. The iPad is always in their hands. They only like football. No interest in anything else. We got phone calls to get to. We got Heather's news. We've got Dear John. We have the Thursday touchdown. Lot to do. It's 97.1. Get some ticket texts, some phone calls in the mix. The data, the concern. Kids aren't watching sports. We've asked you guys, what have you seen? Steven in Flat Rock, you're on 97.1.
Hey, I'm a 25-year-old. I really love the Lions, obviously, like everybody else in Detroit. But I also fell in love with the Tigers about 2 years ago. I don't really know why, but
I have a reason now, so that's nice. But I don't really have any reason to try to watch the Tigers, honestly. I'm totally content with listening to baseball. And I guess the big reason is I have a short attention span for Bally's, and I'm not really going to pay for a crappy app to watch them, especially when I already play for MLB Network and I get literally every other game in the entire country besides my own local team. So the fact blackouts. That every other sport works yep. like that, yeah, that uses the blackouts. And I did actually pay for YouTube TV because it's the opposite. I actually do get the local Lions games. I mean, they're good enough. They're getting broadcast across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to worry about them. And then even if they are on a Thursday, I can just go to the bar. So
yeah, you've kind of made it your own. You've hodgepodge, a little of this, a little of that, and made it your own. And I think now more than ever, people are kind of building their own array, right? Mm-hmm. Their own menu of how they're going to consume sports. He goes, I'm not going to pay to watch the Pistons or the Red Wings. I could listen to the Tigers on the radio. I can go to a sports bar for a big game. This isn't what it used to be. Streaming has completely changed the game. Let's get to Antoine in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
What's going on? Hey, listen, fellas. First of all, this is a parenting issue. How many people are going to call and say, my kid doesn't pay attention? Well, make them. They're kids. If you care about the Lions, you make your kid watch the Lions. You shut your TV, you shut your house down. You shut your living room down at about 11 o'clock, about an hour and a half before game time. You cook food with them. You make it family time. You make it fun, especially right now because they're winning. If you don't do that, of course they're going to play their video games, go on YouTube, use all of these crappy apps, and do all of this crap that doesn't provide them any substance. Watching the same movie 10 times over or watching some bull crap on YouTube is not adding any substance to them. Adding substance is having memorable moments with your family and watching the Lions or watching the Wings or watching this or watching that. This is a parenting issue. This is an inside-the-house issue. Stop letting tablets and things and apps raise your kids and have moments with your kids. As a man in the house, as a father, you're going to make sure you sit down with your kids and watch important moments and important sports games. If you don't do that, of course you're going to lose your kid to the tablet, bro. That's common sense.
Looking at the parents on the show, I can't speak to this.
I'm not going to... Greg?
Antoine.
Well, you're talking to Greg behind the glass.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to chain my kid to the couch at 1 o'clock and make him watch the Lions. Here's the point.
Well, maybe you should, because whatever they're doing on those apps, and that's not adding no substance, bro. It's adding zero substance. You work a sports radio show. Sports should be important to you. And if it's important to you, it should be important to your kids.
You can't make your kids like sports, Antoine. I understand the point about, hey, limiting screen time for kids, and I don't have kids, but I don't think you can make them like things.
No, you can make them get outside. You can limit screen time in what they're doing on Instagram, TikTok. What's the one that disappears in 24 hours?
Snapchat.
Like all of those things you can limit, but in limiting those, you give other options.
They will find their interests, enhance and amplify what their interests are appropriately.
Yes, if they like music or sports or whatever.
I think some elements of his points are accurate.
Yeah.
Like, for example, last year for the NFC Championship game, I got pizza from, we tried a new place, and I knew it would be good. And you create a moment within that moment around the game.
Sure.
So I agree with those kind of, to try to guide them to interest. But look, if your kids don't like something, you don't force them to like something. Just because I work in sports radio doesn't mean my kid has to be a sports fan. In fact, I've told them that. You know, I said, just because dad does what he does for a living doesn't mean that you need to like sports.
Well, think about it. Like, do you like the same stuff as your brothers or your dad? Like, everybody's got their own interests.
Both my two youngest kids sing, they do singing lessons and have sung at recitals at our church. And I've told them both, I enjoy this more than watching you play a game. You know, so to Antoine's, I think he went a little extreme with some things.
His initial point, though, was like include them in stuff, make it fun.
But
I think that's good
advice.
Like
this Sunday, you know, we started it with the Packer game 2 years ago on the Sunday night. That's when they got to stay up late on a Sunday night. I'm willing to let my kids stay up late if they want to watch the game. If they don't want to watch the game, they're not going to stay up late. That's the reason you're staying up late. And I do agree that, yeah, you can take the phones out of their hands in situations and stuff, but you can't make them like something that you like.
Oh, Antoine is very polarizing on the ticket text, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Some people, he's right. I love it. Don't placate these kids. Father of the year. Another one says, Antoine's probably not a father based on that advice. They're flooding in. We can take one more phone call before the news. Ben in Grosse Pointe, you're on 97.1. Ben, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. So I grew up North Michigan as a four-sport Detroit fan. My parents always had all four sports on TV. I lived in New York City the last 3 years, and I was always taking my daughter to Red Wings games whenever they were at Madison Square Garden or they were at whatever New York Islanders stadium is. But now she loves sitting in front of the TV watching the Red Wings and the Lions and all four sports that are usually on. So I usually do the cooking thing, and we eventually get there, and she's five now, but hopefully when she's 13, 14, she'll be a four sports fan like I was.
See, that is cool. Like, we can all relate to growing up and going to games and kind of those first moments where you start to fall in love with, like, I think hockey's great in person, but the Palace, if you're going to go to a Pistons game, or, you know, the Lions football atmosphere, because it's only once a week, you really can tap into that. That's how you make people sports fans. Maybe that's part of it, is it's just too expensive to go to games. So kids, some of them are missing out on those initial moments that would spark the interest. Couple more quick ticket texts. This one says, insane take by Antoine. Stop looking at that screen and look at this screen. And another one says, Antoine is spot on. This is a parenting issue.
I told you guys this off the air, but I want to say it on the air. I made Sunday special. I got Applebee's carryout for the first time ever. We always go to go to the restaurant. I got it because we want to watch a game. I did it for Dan Campbell, and I did it for the people that think that the Applebee's commercials, and I created this whole little thing because I've been telling the kids at home, oh, some people that call into the station think, you know, Campbell needs to stay out of these commercials and coach the team when they were doing a little, you know, weren't playing quite so well at the beginning of the year. But yeah, just it's something to make it unique, you know? All right, I wasn't that day.
Okay, no. Let's get to Heather's news.
I'll tell you what, if you force your kid to do something, most likely they're going to hate it. I know from experience. So yes. Probably not the best way to do that. But I understand kind of what he's saying and what Tom is saying. We're doing that with Emily. Like, obviously, Colin is obsessed with the Lions. So Lions game days are special in our house. It's always on. She wears her little cheerleading outfit. And we do, like, special food. And she always gets a fruit snack.
Yeah.
And, like, whatever she's into. And so when she sees Dan Campbell's face, whether it's on my Instagram or wherever, she's like, Daddy loves him. Daddy loves this. Daddy loves the Lions. Like, she knows all about it. So she's only two, but she's getting into it for sure. You guys, a road worker was critically injured after being hit by a car along I-75 in Southwest Detroit. This was on Wednesday afternoon. Happened in the area of southbound 75 near Springwells. Police say a worker was setting up a flare pattern between construction vehicles in the right lane when he was struck by a 71-year-old driver from Allen Park. It sounds like the driver remained there at the scene, was cooperating. Obviously, the road was shut down for an investigation. Police are reminding people once more to move over, slow down when you see a construction vehicle, especially when you see construction workers working in the roadway. You need to get over and you need to slow down for sure. A Westland man was arrested after authorities say that he tried to get into the U.S. Capitol on election day while carrying a flare gun, torch lighter, bottles of fuel, what appears to be a manifesto, and a letter to Congress. So this guy, 27-year-old Austin Olson, made this 8-hour drive to Washington, D.C. He showed up at the Capitol. He walked into the south entrance. He got in the line for the police searching process, and officers ordered him to put his jacket and his bag through the x-ray machine.
Right.
And that's when they spotted what appeared to be all of these suspicious things in his bag. And not only that, he also had a strong scent of gasoline on his body. Like, he had coated himself in gasoline, was wearing numerous layers. So he was cuffed. He was arrested. Police are still working to determine exactly what his plan was and why he came there with those items. He is facing charges for possession of a prohibited weapon, unlawful activities, and disorderly conduct. Yikes.
Yeah.
And all his neighbors are like, oh, gosh, we thought he was a great guy.
Coming, yeah.
All of them are like, he seemed just perfectly normal. But apparently you don't know really anyone.
Right.
Yeah. Brian Branch is apologizing for flipping off Packers fans after being ejected from Sunday's game. So he was obviously frustrated. He took it out on the fans as he left the field. Well, at practice on Wednesday, Branch did issue an apology and also said that he did agree with the ref's call. So there you have that. Jameson Williams
was more in-depth than sorry.
He said more than sorry, but not a lot more.
No, I know.
We got the point.
Yeah.
We get it. Jameson Williams was also back practicing with the team as well, following his two-game suspension. And he said that moving forward, he's going to be smarter and be a bigger person in certain situations. That's kind of like what he said he learned from everything that went down.
Hopefully it takes, yeah.
Yeah, let's hope so. That's it. That's all I got time for.
That's Heather with the news. We've got the Thursday touchdown. 9:02, Dear John. And at 9:35, Mike Tirico. Mm. Is there an asterisk on this Lions season? Hutch is hurt after all. We'll have some fun with Tirico in less than an hour. It's 97.1.
Hey, you've heard me talk about injury attorney David Feminino for quite some time now. And here's a couple of other facts. Just listen to some of the results that David has been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for an individual, a client. You need an attorney and a team that comes with them that will fight relentlessly for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. You can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.